Good morning. I'm glad to be with you during this time together. Today we're looking at James chapter 5 verses 7 through 12, but before we begin, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together and we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We pray that you allow your words to wash over us and grow us spiritually. And we ask that you remove all distractions so that we can be focused on you. Please move me aside, Lord, and give me the words to relay your message accurately. It's in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Today we're looking at James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, and the title of this section is Patience in Suffering. And if you're anything like me, the word patience doesn't really get you excited. And really, neither does the word suffering. How many times have we heard, be patient? And how many times have we rolled our eyes to that response? How many times have we had a friend or a family member tell us, this season will pass? And to ourselves, we're thinking, yeah, that's easy for them to say. They're not the ones suffering. And how many times during this pandemic have we thought or said, I can't wait until things get back to normal? Patience is hard. Suffering is hard. And today our lesson addresses these things. At first glance, when I saw what lesson I was scheduled to teach, I will shamefully admit to you that my immediate thought was, man, I drew the short straw. But after I started preparing, God adjusted my thinking. First, he showed me that sharing God's word is never drawing the short straw. Sharing God's word is an absolute privilege. But secondly, as we'll see, patience and suffering plays an important role in a Christian's life. Let's start by reading the passage. If you've got your Bibles, I would encourage you to read along with me. James chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be your yes and your no be your no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. So, James starts the section off with our favorite phrase, be patient. But he doesn't stop there. He continues on saying, until the coming of the Lord. Right off the bat, my first takeaway is, we need to always finish that phrase. I'm guilty all the time of telling my kids to be patient. And I hardly ever elaborate when telling my kids to be patient. When traveling to see grandparents or a friend and they've asked me for the 10th time how long until we get there, I just always say be patient. But I really never say more than that. What I could say instead is, be patient, guys. It's a long journey to get there, but it's worth the time it takes because we're going to have so much fun when we finally arrive. That's what James is saying here. Be patient. The Lord is coming. He's reminding us why we need to be patient, and that the wait is well worth it. To further encourage us, James gives us three examples of how we are to be patient. The first example is of a farmer who waits for the crop. And James depicts how the farmer waits for the early and late rains. He talks about establishing our hearts in preparation for the Lord. Farming is hard labor, and it requires a lot of work. It requires constant attention, and it's really dependent on the different seasons. See, James, through his example of the farmer, is showing us that while we are patiently waiting, we must also be hard at work. We must make our time useful. We can't control the seasons. We can't control when it rains and when it shines, but regardless, God calls us to work. We saw earlier in James how important works is in our lives and how it's an assurance of faith. As we wait, we must work because God is coming. James has said it twice now, and he's challenged us to work to establish our hearts. In keeping with the farming analogy, think of a field being prepared. The soil is broken up and tilled, and in another word, the field is suffering, much like we suffer. And once the crop is planted, it requires rain and sun, much like the seasons of our life. It takes both rainy seasons and sunny seasons to grow us closer to God. And through all of the tilling, the planting, the growing, and the harvesting, the farmer continues to work. My takeaway from this analogy of the farmer is that James gives us is that we can't just sit on the sidelines when things get tough. We've got to continue our works through the tough times and the easy times. The second analogy James gives us is the prophets. We don't know exactly which prophets he's referring to, but you know, they all share some commonalities, one of which being they were all witnesses. A second one being they faced trials and persecution during their life. That's what James is highlighting. He says, "Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast." James is telling us that during our time of waiting, during our time of suffering, we must continually be witnessing to others. I know in my life it's so much easier to profess God's love for me when I'm in a sunny season. I have no problem telling everyone how God's blessed me and that the glory be to God. It's harder for me though when it rains in my life. It's hard for me to share with another how God has provided when I feel down and out. And that's just sin creeping into my heart. God loves me so much, he gave his only son to die for my sins. What more could I ask for? And if that wasn't enough, because as we all know, it is enough, God continues to bless me by giving me rainy seasons that draw me closer to him and grow me in my walk. We need to be sharing that message with others, no matter our circumstances. We need to continue to witness. We need to learn from the prophets who suffered and were persecuted, but still spoke in the name of the Lord. We need to be sharing with everyone, rain or shine, good season, bad season, no matter what, we need to be sharing with everyone the gospel. It's just so important. The last analogy James gives us is of Job, who we all know from the Old Testament. Job is a pillar of patience. Here was a guy who had steadfast faith in the Lord, and he just could not be turned away from God. Satan threw everything he had at Job. He took away his family, his wealth. I mean, he just stripped him down completely. And he really took almost everything from Job. And Satan was confident that in doing so, he would get Job to curse God and turn away from him. But as we remember back to Job, we see that Satan was unsuccessful. We see that Job remained steadfast. More importantly, we learn of God's nature, of how God is compassionate and merciful. We see that Job's suffering grew him closer to God. And simply put, Job came out of that suffering better than when he went in. Much like we all have experienced in our own lives, with our own suffering. I love how James reminds us through the story of Job that we must keep waiting and trusting in the Lord. We must keep our faith in God and always remember the love he has for us. We've all heard the saying that God won't give us more than we can handle. But I like to think that he actually does. I like to think that because God gives me more than I can handle, I will be forced to turn to Him. I will be forced to trust in God rather than trusting in myself, just like Job trusted God. So, you know, again, I like to think that God gives us more than we can handle because we're not alone in our suffering. God is with us every step of the way, and He is drawing us closer and growing us spiritually. James finishes this passage with some sound advice. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be your yes and your no be your no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Many of you who know me well know that I quote this scripture all the time. I often use this quote when I'm determining how much more I can add to my plate. And I use this in my life as a reminder to be in prayer. If I rely selfishly on myself, I'm going to take on more than I can handle, and I'm going to be unable to follow through on a yes. It's okay to say no to some things, and it's okay to say yes to other things. For me, oftentimes, I try to please others, so I'm really bad at saying yes even when my plate's full. I should instead try and please God. In the context of this passage, I realize that there are seasons in life that sometimes I must say no, and there are seasons in life where I must say yes, and I know that I've got to throw that up to God. I must let Him guide me, and when I'm suffering and struggling, to be patient. It's sometimes hard to determine what God is accomplishing in my life. It's hard to recognize the growth that's occurring. And that's where prayer comes in. Throw it up to God. I feel most distant from God when I choose not to confide in Him, when I choose not to seek His counsel. And that makes tough seasons that much tougher. I have to be in constant prayer and let Him guide me to ensure that my yeses mean yes and my noes mean no. During those tough seasons, when I'm struggling to be patient, I can't just aimlessly wander relying on myself. I've got to turn to God. I've got to let Him guide me. James really drives home how we're supposed to act during our times of suffering and waiting. We're to continue to work like the farmer does, and we're to continue to witness as the prophets did. And we are to continue to trust in the Lord as Job did. As James closes out this passage, he also reminds us to seek God's counsel, to allow God to guide our lives and our decisions. I challenge everyone, myself included, that we remember this lesson the next time we're suffering. It's not that we should minimize our suffering, because believe me, there's some suffering that just can't be described in words. But we've got to remember that God has a plan for us, and God's plan is always bigger than our suffering. We must always remember that He continues to grow us, and we must always remember that He gave His only Son for us, and that no amount of suffering can change the fact that we are His, and we have a glorious destination in store. And knowing that fact makes it that much easier to be patient, that much easier to work through our suffering, to witness during our suffering, and continue to trust in God. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your message today, and we thank You for the gift of Your word and the wisdom it brings to our lives. Lord, we don't ask for patience in our suffering, but rather the strength to work through it and the boldness to share the gospel during the rainy seasons. God, we ask that You hold us close and give us wisdom to seek Your guidance so that we may continue to trust in You. I pray for our church, Lord. Continue to spiritually grow our leaders and our body of believers. Lord, I pray for health and safety for myself and all of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's in Your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.